Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, the co-host, and with me today is Yanis Janaeus. In this episode, we're going to discuss the 1-0 loss for Fulham against Southampton at Craven Cottage in the FA Cup. We have much to talk about in regards to this loss for Fulham, but before I do anything, I have to talk to my co-host and welcome back to the show, Mr. Janaeus. How are you doing?
I am fabulous. It's cold here. We're getting a bit of snow this afternoon, back to school tomorrow, but unfortunately, another FA Cup run done and dusted, but now we can look forward to hopefully some happy exploits in the Championship.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to moving on from this after we talk about this match and just concentrating on the league, because there are some very interesting fixtures coming up, and we will move on, but we have to look back before we do that. Let's talk about this FA Cup match. I watched it, you watched it, and it's disappointing. There's no question about it. I'm disappointed. They are playing against a Premier League team that you have to respect. We talked about this team. We were curious if both head coaches would be putting out strong lineups. They both did that.
Yep.
And we got an interesting match. Did not go Fulham's way. But you know what? Like I said, we're going to go through it and talk about what happened in this match, and then we move on. But before we do anything, I just want to get your opening thoughts on this match.
Well, I've heard that Fulham fans have a new tourist attraction. Lots of fans have been going to this tourist attraction since the end of the game yesterday. It's called the White Cliffs of Dover, because a load of fans have been jumping off the cliff after the result yesterday. And social media has been rife with some, you know, really real funny comments about Slava's lineup, Kearney didn't play, Rui Font being the worst striker we've ever had. Slava doesn't know what he's doing. How are we losing to Southampton, who are terrible? You know, we're clueless. Another year where we don't go on a tough a cup run. Russell, it's just absolutely pathetic. In terms of the lineups, both teams put out strong lineups. A load of fans were pissed off because Kearney didn't play. If we're going to lose because Kearney didn't play, and let's be honest, Kearney, I mean, apart from that third goal he set up against Ipswich Town, he's not exactly been back to his best. If we're moaning because Kearney's not playing, we're in worse trouble than even we can possibly imagine. Number one. Number two, for the fans out there who, and I won't call them names, but the fans out there that decided to crap on Rui Font last night about how crap, you know, a poor player he is, Russ. I've got a few names I'd like to throw at fans out there, and some of whom are my age, some a little bit older, and some are a lot younger than me. And so some will know who I'm talking about and some will not. So I'm going to throw these names at you.
Okay.
And let's see if people can remember how good they were as strikers. Okay, so here we go. I've made up a list here. I've got Ronnie Goodlass. I've got Wayne Cairns. I've got Chris Pike. Let's see who. Michael Cole, Ronnie Mage, Steve Milton, Gary Cobb, Mark Kelly, Martin Thurney, Ara Bedrosian. Okay, so what are the, you know, what do these players have in common? They came from way back when playing in lower divisions that were far, far worse strikers than Rui Font could have ever hoped to be. You know, but people, those of us that lived, and people say, oh, you old bastard, you know, what did you know? Well, I was a season ticket holder back in the 70s and 80s. So I do remember how shockingly shit we were, and going out to Torquay and there's 2,500 fans, or playing in front of 2,000 fans at the Cottage. Yeah, I do remember those days. We had far, 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 far worse strikers ever. Even I'm thinking, I mean, the worst player I ever saw was actually played 88 times for our club, Gavin Nebling. You know, just an awful defender. I mean, people conveniently forget we were in the chair, you know, the Premier League for 11 years, which for a club of our size was an absolute miracle. You know, you can't always get it. It's not like Rui Font's not trying out there. He is. He's only scored one goal, so what? It takes time to adjust. You know, players don't want to be booed out. Players don't want to. you know, they don't want to get this abject criticism. He's in a new country. You know, give him some time. Support the lads. Support the team. And yesterday, to be honest, we came up against a better side, Russ. We came up against a better side.
Yeah.
Some quality players. And if we're really going to call it the way it is, Ward-Prowse has scored a good goal. Shane Long has scored a goal that was called offside. Yeah. And then there was, you know, Stevens missed an empty netter. But then you look at the, you know, they had some good players out there. And although they're struggling, they put up a good account. I like Southampton. And for those of you that think that things are bad, do I need to remind you of the last time we went to St Mary's Stadium and lost 2-0 in the Premier League?
That was horrible.
And we put a shot in net. You remember that game?
Oh, I remember that game.
I mean, really? So it's an FA Cup run. Brilliant. Okay. You know, as you said to me before the show, could be worse. Leeds United went and lost to Newport County. our friend Mark Bellend Hughes loses his job after they lose 2-1 to Coventry City. And who scores the winner? One player who I was always very high on, Jack Grimmer, scores the winner. Of course, that rhymed. So it's perspective. As Slava said, it's done and dusted. We think now about our game up to the long trip to the Northeast. And,
that's right.
And even with, you know, he's had some rants. But I think, you know, the fans on the whole love Slava. And he wants us to be successful. And he wants players at his disposal. And I think you could say, well, yeah, you're airing your grievances in public. But I think, you know, if he's so frustrated about this, he's probably thinking, we do have the advent of social media. We do have the media and it's all this power and influence. If the club aren't listening to me, if these owners, these rangers aren't listening to me, I've got to tell the media. And this is how I feel. I don't care. I want players that can take us to the next level. I feel we can do it. I feel we have the money. And the owners, you know, they pour their money into Motspur Park and da-da-da and blah-blah-blah. That's great. So the toilets don't leak. But, you know, lovely toilets with 27-ply bog roll won't put us back in the Premier League. It'll be players that do it. And that'll cost money. And I think that's what he wants. And so, you know, it's been an odd, 24 hours or whatever it is. And it bores me to have, you know, the fans jumping off the White Cliffs of Dover, shitting on anyone and everyone and, you know, throwing eggs at Font and eggs at poor Ollie Norwood. He had a poor game yesterday. I'll admit that. He had a poor game. But some of the stuff that's coming out of social media, like, really? Come on. I mean, you're really thinking Kearney would have made that much of a difference? Yes, we had a very strong, we had our, basically, you know, our starting back four. We've got, you've got everybody bar Kearney. And then they're saying, oh, why do they start Button? Well, I don't disagree with that, but Betts is going to be back in net next week. He's probably going, oh, well, I'm going to give Button a game, you know, just to keep him fresh in case I need him. Who knows? Betts could get a red. One game he can get injured. You still got to keep him fresh at some point. So,
right.
I don't know. Time to hit the bottle, I think, Russ.
Let me just mention this because I happened to listen to the interview with Slavisa after the match. I actually believe I posted it on the Cars Talk Facebook page. And in the interview that was done with BBC London, I believe, he mentions that he did not have Kearney and Betts available because they were both injured. So apparently they were injured heading into this FA Cup match, so that's why they were not included. Paraphrasing, he said he put out a strong side, which he did do. Those two players were not available to him, according to this interview that I listened to. So you got to take that into perspective. But like you mentioned, Giannis, Button was a starter for all those games. They played a bunch of games without Tom Kearney, so this isn't the first time. It's a fairly strong lineup.
Yeah.
So Visa took it seriously. Pellegrino took it seriously. Both managers took it seriously.
Yes, they did.
And then you look at the match and you have one team that has more talent than the other, and it unfortunately showed itself during this match. They were by far the better team. Sorry, that's the truth. That's what I watched. They were the better team. Doesn't mean that Fulham didn't have a chance to possibly force a replay. They did. They absolutely did. But that team has better talent. They're in the Premier League for a reason. We're in the Championship for a reason. So what I got out of it was a match that turned out to be, unfortunately for Fulham, just one match in the FA Cup. They gave it a go, as you tweeted out, gave it a go. It just did not go their way. And now we move on to Middlesbrough, which is, you know, again, the league is obviously very important. But when I look at this, I can look at this one match and say, you know what? They got beat by a better team on this day. Let's move on. That's the way I look at it, Giannis.
Russ, you and I speak the same language.
And that's my point in all of this. I've seen everything on social media. You have as well. And they did not play well. But a big part of the reason why they didn't play well is that the other team, Southampton, were better. Simple.
Yep. Yeah, you're absolutely right. They were the better side, and they are the better side, and they have the resources to be the better side. And, you know, there were, you know, you look at, I made a mention, I tweeted it, and, you know, Slava, I'm sure, will have taken a good look at it. I mean, you look at someone like Shane Long.
Yeah.
Let me use him as a very good example. Shane Long's not been getting a lot of playing time for Southampton, and I think arguably he was the best player on the pitch yesterday.
I totally agree with you, Giannis. I'm glad that you went right to Shane Long, because I kept thinking how he would have looked like playing for Fulham, because he's a player that I actually really like.
Yeah, and that was that disallowed goal. That was a fantastic finish. It was just lightning quick, and it goes to show that, I mean, there are options out there for the club, you know. And I'm just, you know, there's been a lot of social pressure, social media pressure this week. I'm sure the Khans are listening or watching, and yep. I think the pressure is building up. I know it's January the 7th, but pressure is building up. And I was hoping they weren't eating caviar on their yacht and watching this game, because if they were watching this game, Shane Long is worth picking up a phone about, because he's going to want to keep on playing to maintain his, you know, his place in the Republic of Ireland squad. He's always been known as a very hard working player, and if you look at that lineup that they put out, you know, isn't it funny that, you know, one of my two low points, FA Cup, one involved an FA Cup game 10 years ago. And who was starting in that game? None other than Stephen Davis, because he'd just signed by Laurie Sanchez, and Davis was out there starting. James Ward-Prowse is a good player.
He's a very good player, Jans.
He is. I was very, very impressed with Højbjerg. And actually, when Højbjerg was subbed, Southampton fans were yelling, "You don't know what you're doing," which I thought was rather telling. I thought Yoshida was a monster at the back, as was Stevens, although he missed an absolute sitter. You've got Bertrand, who's played for England, and I think Ward-Prowse has got a future for England, and Romero's a good player as well. It's a good side, and it's not even their strongest lineup, and that tells you, you know, look, they didn't even have Fraser Forster in goal, but they still put out a good lineup. We were lamenting on Friday about the clubs putting out very strong lineups. Liverpool-Everton game Friday night, both teams put out very, very strong lineups. I've been very impressed overall with, it looks like for some reason this year, most of the Premier League teams put out really, really strong lineups.
It's good to see, Giannis, actually.
It was great to see. That's why someone like Mark Hughes can really have a few excuses, because the lineup he put up at Coventry wasn't an inexperienced line. It was a good lineup, and they really shouldn't be losing to a Coventry City team,
right?
Even if they're in playoff positions in League Two. So we lost to the better side, and we huffed and we puffed and we tried. We didn't look like we ever really thought we could be in this game, and it almost looked like we had one eye ahead to next week, and I don't really blame them for that. It's disappointing to go out, but it's, you know, I know it's different because it's Chelsea, but Antonio Conte's reaction to, you know, drawing with Norwich, you know, it's another game, you know, another game is another more potential for injuries. So now we can focus on the league. We've got no excuses. And, you know, it was a game that sort of whizzed a little bit, Russ. We, you know, it was, It sort of whizzed. It really did. It was just one of those games. It felt like a preseason game almost.
It did, Giannis. That's actually a great way to put it, because it didn't feel like a match that we would normally see in the championship, where it just seemed like two teams going at each other, but it did have that kind of feel to it. I'm glad that you brought that up. The one other thing that I want to mention, because I did feel this way while watching it, is that the commentators, I don't know exactly how they put it, they were talking about the speed, the way that Southampton were approaching it, the way that they were able to force their will on the play compared to how forward it seemed like to me. This is just my opinion, not what the commentator said, but it seemed like the speed were at two different speeds, Giannis. They were at a little higher speed because they play in the Premier League, and we were at a championship speed. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Yeah, yes, it does. And I think the championship is more physical, but I think this just the speed. And you know, it's indicative of where this game has come. It's you know, I look at the top clubs. I retweeted something, Russ, last night. So those of you that follow me on Twitter, I retweeted something from BT Sport, and the game is constantly evolving. There was a really good interview with Chris Sutton and Frank Lampard. And they were talking about kids in sport and just, you know, the pressure on the kids, and you know, and clubs are trying to poach kids as young as 3 years of age, which I find absolutely ghastly. But the problem is there's so much pressure in terms of development, in terms of the money. If you look at the wages, I mean, the Coutinho bid, 142 million, Van Dijk, 75 million. That, you know, the amount of money that is in the Premier League with the Sky TV deal, with the size of stadiums of some of these clubs and the size of the clubs, means a club like us, as good an academy as we have, you know, I think, you know, the Leicester was like 1 in 100 years in terms of what they achieved in the Premier League.
Yeah.
But the likelihood of a club like us reaching those dizzy heights, even compared to say 7-8 years ago with the Europa League, is small now. I think the last decade,
it's smaller now. Absolutely,
oh, nice. It has changed so much in the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, it's a great point.
It's actually sad, because if you look at Stoke City, for example,
yeah,
this is where sometimes we've got to be realistic. Stoke City in the last couple of years spent a fair bit of money. I mean, people going, well, no, they did. They sold Arnautovic, which was a mistake, but they bought in some players who've basically failed, and big money, $10, $15, $18 million a pound players, and that is sometimes for players that you'd look at and go, really, what? I mean, it's Chelsea have how many? What, 30, 40 players out on loan?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy, and. So sometimes I think, you know, I look back at that game yesterday, and I know fans are disappointed we got knocked out.
Right.
But, you know, and some would argue, well, clubs can rise to the level of expectations, as can athletes. I get that. But the reality is, in today's economic climate, in terms of football, how do you live with even a club like Southampton, who are in the Premier League, who have a very, very good development academy?
Oh, cool.
You know, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Walcott, the best of all, probably Gareth Bale, you know, to come out of there. But how do we complete? And yet they're 17th in the Premier League.
Right.
So these aren't monkey clubs.
No, listen, and that's the whole thing about this. And I was thinking about this. Maybe part of the problem goes back to last season, Giannis, when in the FA Cup we beat Hull City. And thinking, because Hull City was kind of in the same situation that Southampton is, but I think Southampton and Hull City are in different stratospheres. Honestly.
Big time.
And
big
I think time. That's part of the problem, because you and I talked off air that Southampton just last season, I believe, was eighth. They are punching way below their weight. They should be much higher up the table, but this is where they are right now. But they still have all these quality players. I've watched them more than a few times this season. This is not a bad team. So, yes, this is where they are right now in the table. I get all that. they have all these quality players. And I was also thinking about this, Giannis. Compared to who we have basically a team that's made up of championship players, which is where we are. This is
right.
the type of player we have right now.
That's right.
That's who we have. And I was thinking about this. How many players that were out there yesterday for Fulham will be in the Premier League? Sessegnon and maybe Fredericks. Obviously, there's speculation with Fredericks. But I think Kevin McDonald could potentially play in the Premier League. But if you really look at it, talking about players that started, maybe Shea Ojo down the road will get his shot as well. But beyond that, you're talking about a championship team playing a Premier League team with Premier League players. And you only lost 1-0. It could have been a lot worse. We all know that. And we're going to go through the opportunities that Southampton had because 1-0, believe it or not, does flatter us because it could have been worse.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I'd say I would actually say right now Sessegnon, because I mean, if this team went in the Premier League, we'd get. I mean, if we're having issues breaking down Southampton, and this is, and I mean no disrespect to Southampton, we get clubbed.
Oh,
in the Premier League, absolutely walloped.
Oh, and I understand why some fans keep bringing that up because I saw that on social media that if we were back in the Premier League. If we ended up getting promoted, this team wouldn't be able to beat anyone. And I'm not going to disagree with that because they would have to rehaul the team. There's no question about that.
That's exactly right.
But my whole thought is, let's get there first. You know, I want to get there first, and then we'll worry about that. But this team is built for the championship, which is called what it is. And Southampton are built for the Premier League. You put them together, and more often than not, the Premier League team is going to beat the championship team. Obviously, that doesn't happen all the time because, you know, that's what's great about the FA Cup. You have your upsets. Listen, I watched Manchester United play Derby County. Derby County gave it a go just like we did. But in the end, you're playing Manchester United at Old Trafford. Who do you think is going to win that match? And they kept, at some point, just showing the differences between, I could watch the differences between the two teams. And it's just, it is what it is. And you just got to do the best that you could. I thought Fulham did the best that they could going against that team. You know, could the performance have been better? Yes. But I mean, you also have to take in consideration who they were playing against, Giannis. You know, they were trying, and it just, like you said, and I've said it already before, they gave it a go and it just wasn't good enough. And that's just, you know, that's the reality. And it's the reality of teams in the Premier League compared to teams in the Championship. You do have your upsets, but more often than not, the better teams in the better leagues against teams in lower leagues are going to win. It's just the way it works. And that's just the way I look at it. That's why I'm not overly upset. I'm disappointed, but I'm not upset because now I move on. I can focus on it's a loss. It's a bad loss. We move on, my friend. But before we do that, we have to break down this match. We kind of already have talked a little bit about the starting 11. So let's just move on from that. Let's go to the first half. And let's just talk about, I'm just going to talk about some key moments. And unfortunately, I'm going to be talking about a good amount of key moments with Southampton. And like you mentioned, Giannis, I mean, you could just tell early on that Southampton were up for this. And in the 10th minute, you have Shane Long being offside. Yes, he was offside here, Giannis, but not by much, because if not, he would have scored the first goal. And then a little bit later on, the 29th minute, you have a shot by Ward-Prowse that just goes wide, but just 1 minute later, he scores to make it 1-0, and that was the only goal in the match. One other thing that I want to mention, I want to get your thoughts on, was the potential handball by Stefan Johansson in the 34th minute. Again, another situation on another day, maybe that goes against Fulham. But what's interesting, and I just want to emphasize this, for all of the highlights I'm giving you to talk about in regards to Southampton, Fulham, at the end of the first half, started to get a foothold in this match. They totally did. And then you have Tim Ream's header goes over the net from a free kick from Sessegnon. If that goes in, maybe everything's different. So I would say the end of that half, Fulham started to show itself a little bit. But the majority of the first half was dominated by Southampton, Giannis.
Yep. No complaints there. They were the better side. And as I said, that finish by Long was, I mean, you know, he's given offside. It was a fantastic finish. Prowse has finished one. I mean, the potential handball on Johansson, I think Steph Joe got away with one there.
I thought he did, actually.
Yeah, and you know, at halftime we're going 1-0. We've started asking a couple of questions in the last 5 or so minutes, but no complaints. We've gone in halftime the second best team, and you know, in the hope that maybe, you know, some substitutions second half will change things up and up the tempo and what have you. But it wasn't to be.
No, it wasn't, Giannis, and that's the unfortunate part of this. Listen, you know, again, they're only a goal down. It's not like they have more than that to make up, but it just wasn't meant to be. And the first half ended fairly well, but then we transitioned to the second half. And again, I'm going to share a decent amount of opportunities here from Southampton in the 53rd. Minute, you have the save by Button on Højbjerg. You mentioned him earlier, Giannis. Yeah. He was dangerous. Then you have the substitution. I want to mention this. This is interesting. He takes off McDonald, and he brings on Cambano in the 56th minute. And then Steph Joe has a shot in the 60th minute. And shortly after that, you have Ojo coming on for Collis. Another interesting move by Savisa. And then I'm going to mention a couple more opportunities here from Southampton in the 69th minute. A free kick goes over the net from a shot from Bertrand. And then I believe Stevens hit the crossbar. Was it Stevens that hit the crossbar?
Stevens hit the crossbar, yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was Sitter, really. Should have scored.
Okay. And then right after that, you have Kamara coming on for Font. And then you have a really good opportunity for Fulham. You have a Doi shot that goes over the net. I actually thought he was going to score here, Giannis. This is probably Fulham's best opportunity besides that opportunity that unfortunately Lucas Piazon could not get a hold of. That was another kind of, I wouldn't even call it a half chance, but if he was able to get control of that, that would have been another opportunity. I didn't even want to mention that, but I'm just going to just say that that could have turned into something. But the Odoi opportunity was a legitimate chance to score. And the match ends, unfortunately, 1-0. But I want to get your view on the second half. What did you see?
Was a little bit better. You know, we did ask, we started asking a few more questions. I mean, the substitutions, I think, you know, probably right thing at the right time. Again, Font had a few issues, worked hard out there, didn't seem to get much of the ball. He's put Cameron on with 15 minutes to go. It's not made a lot of difference. Ojo's come on, you know, Callas, not really done. Not really made a lot of difference. I mean, overall, you know, it was just one of those days where it wasn't going to work. And it was, it's almost a phrase that you sometimes get bandied about, damp squib. And it was a little bit like that. It was sort of the ending was the end to our incredibly long FA Cup campaign this year. Which was so long that actually I can't remember it, was anticlimactic. But again, you take it from the game. You just move ahead. I like what Slava said at the end of the game. You know, we move forward.
We move forward to Middlesbrough.
I mean, look forward to Middlesbrough. It, you know, it did annoy me, you know, that the fans going on about, you know, if Kearney had played, you know, is the one player, would he have made that much of a difference? Well, no, I don't believe so. And, you know, would Bettinelli have stopped that goal? No, you know, no way. And Button didn't have his best game. But, you know, we lost to a better side.
Yeah.
And now we need to, I think if we go up to the Northeast and get a win next week, no one's going to be talking about this result, and nobody's going to be talking about substitutions, and then, you know, inevitably we're going to have the FA Cup draw tomorrow, Tuesday, and I don't know, end up Southampton play home to United. Oh, we could have played United. You know what? just move on and get on with it. It's you know, I'm sure Leeds United fans are probably pissed off that they lost to Newport County, but then they can concentrate in the league. I said to you about that. The game, you know, we lost to Hayes.
Yeah.
That's what makes the FA Cup for the lower league teams is you know, the League Ones and League Twos is all. It makes it special. But we know, but let's be realistic, you know, with the guns that we've got, as you said, we're in a championship equipped side. Yeah. I mean, I looked at
them,
that's who we are. And you look at some of their players, Southampton players, and you go, well, you know, how many of, in reverse, how many of their lineup yesterday would make our lineup? And I would actually probably say most.
Oh,
so I mean, it's just,
I totally agree. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just about, I mean,
Giannis, give me Shane Long every day of the week.
We would, I mean, if the Lewis Graben rumors are to be believed, I mean, if Lewis Graben is available and he has been recalled from Bournemouth, from South Sunderland, from Bournemouth, to Bournemouth, then there's a possibility, but that Shane Long's not been playing a lot for Southampton, and I'm sure he wants to be playing, staying in that Republic of Ireland side. And I can't see, I actually cannot see a Premier League team picking him up in the transfer window, but I can see a Championship team looking at doing it. And, you know, the Dwight Gale situation, we always hear about, you know, Newcastle will sell Gale if, but the window's closing quickly. And there are other alternatives out there that can.
Sure, you have to look at all of your options there. I'm just saying.
You've got to look at all your options, yeah. And
I'm just saying, if he was available, if for some reason Shane Long was available, if I'm Tony Khan and the recruitment team along with Savisa, I would have a conversation about Shane Long. That's just me, because I think
I might
he
just
would fit
tweet
in
it.
Well.
I might just tweet it and see if the Khans will nibble on this one. Because if they watch the game, and I'm hoping they did, Long was an absolute was a menace. But if you've ever watched him,
yeah,
he's a player who, he's very much like a Dwight Gale, not in terms of the style of play, but a player who's too good for the Championship, but maybe not quite good enough for the Premier League. On his day, at some point he was, but not now. But then he's like a David Nugent, another one who can pop goals in at
crucial
time. They're not going to do what the superstars do, but they can do a job. And all we want to do is to do a job, and that's so maybe that might be worth a cheeky nibble there, Russ. I'll CC on that and say. If you watch the game, I think Shane Long would be a fantastic pickup. And he doesn't. I'm talking to which is funny because I'm in opposition to the Cards today, as you know.
Because it's
this big game here, Jacksonville against Buffalo.
I know.
And I'm excited about that. I'll be sitting in front of my box because nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, as you know.
I'm looking forward to it, Giannis. I'm actually really looking forward to this game.
It should be a good game. But anyway, we you know. It's I've not seen anything. It's funny, during all the furore this week with Slava and the press conferences and da da da. I've heard very little from the Khans, but you know, I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're having their caviar and wine on the yacht. But I bet you they're going to be down in Jacksonville today. So
I would.
Maybe I'll send them something pigeon post.
Yeah, I would think that they would be. All right, my friend. Let's move on. Let's wrap this up because. I want to move on to Middlesbrough, but that will be later on this week. But I want to get through this. But I'm glad that we had this conversation. I wanted to talk about this match. I'm glad that you and I still had a chance to talk about this match because I think that there are things that you can learn from this and then move on. And I think the thing that we knew going into it that this team had a lot of talent that they were playing against, how would they fare? Okay, they did not play to their best ability, but they were beaten by the better team, and that's just the way I look at it. But it also can give you – it can also be a teachable moment, what I'm going to say, Giannis, is that you can learn from losing to a team like this, and maybe they can get something out of it positively to take out of a loss like this because this team played at just a different speed, and maybe they can get that out of it. Then maybe we need to speed things up because that's what I was noticing a great deal. All right, Giannis, let's go to the full-time stats. This one's interesting because I didn't think it would be this high, but obviously we were behind, so maybe that's why possession was at this number. But Fulham had 59% of the possession to 41% for Southampton. I think this is the stat that stands out to me. Total shots, 13-7 in favor of Southampton. this one as well, on target 4-1 in favor of Southampton. Corners 6-4 in favor of Southampton. Crosses 19-13 in favor of Fulham. Tackles 17-12 in favor of Fulham. Attempted passes 555-398 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes 225-173 in favor of Fulham. Giannis, this one stands out because we talk about passing accuracy a good amount. Fulham were only at 78%. Southampton were at 77%. Aerial duels were in favor of Southampton, 18-14, and fouls were in favor of Southampton, 13-8. Okay. What do the full-time stats tell you about this match here?
Well, I think the 13 shots on that, and we had one shot on target. I mean, that's about it. I mean, it's which is one more than we got down at St. Mary's several years ago. Yeah. You know, when we could have been there till 2300 and not got a shot on net, lest we forget that dreadful day. But if you're going to have one shot on target, you're only going to score one goal potentially, not two. And it was just indicative of the sort of pre-season friendly game that 17,000 odd turned up to yesterday. And, you know, the fans were in good voice, both sets of fans. But at the same time, you know, we were beaten by the better side, and we just sort of, you know, it's disappointing because, you know, you always dream of a nice long, you know, the FA Cup rather than, you know, the Roadkill Cup that they played earlier in the season. But it just wasn't to be. And I'm sure if you ask most fans, given the choice of a trip to Wembley as part of a playoff run, they'd take it because it's a chance of going back to the Premier League, which would, and right now in the position we're in, I think in a pretty good position. And
we're only 4 points off, Giannis. And I think can't be dismissed. You know, we're talking about all of this.
We're sniffing.
We have
to
look forward. Yeah. We have to look where we are. And, you know, it's funny. One last thing I want to say about this whole situation with playing a Premier League team. Yes, Fulham did beat Hull City last year. But do you remember them losing to, I don't know, I want to say Tottenham Hotspur, and how bad that was and how bad they played against a team, a far, far superior team? That didn't leave a mark. That did not leave a mark at all. That was just, as fans, we knew that they were beaten by a far superior team, and we move on. I think the problem here is that that people are looking at Southampton's where they are, their position in the table, and they don't think that this is a quality team. That's why I wanted to mention where they were last season. They were eighth last season, okay? This is a quality team. They're just not doing well at this moment. I don't think they're going to end up 17th. I certainly don't think they're going to get relegated. I think they will end up somewhere probably around 10th to 12th, and that'll be a step down from the prior season. But this is a good team with good quality players. And that's why this doesn't leave a mark for me. It's a one-off, and we move on, Giannis.
Agreed. And I hope Southampton. I hope Southampton stay up.
I have nothing against Southampton at all. So
no, I don't either. And I don't either. They've always been a well-run club. You know, ever since I was a kid, they've always had good players, good coaches, good pedigree. I know. I mean, you're hearing rumors they want to. They're thinking of bringing someone like Theo Walcott back, actually, down to St. Mary's back, which I think would actually be, could be good in terms of regenerating his career. And you want good footballing sides to play, you know, in the top league. And I think Southampton deserve to be there. I mean, the teams at the bottom right now, they're really, really struggling. Southampton have managed to slip because of you know, recent results, but I just think they're too good a side to slip in to the championship, and they may be, there'll be a lot of fear there because, you know, sometimes there's a lot of misnomer about parachute payments. Look at two of the clubs that got relegated last year. I mean, Schmuller are really struggling, and our friends Sunderland are bottom. Yeah, so what money would you have given that Sunderland would be bottom of the championship this year?
It's right crazy. Now,
it is crazy. And Burton Albion, who as a club are probably a quarter of the size of Sunderland, maybe less than a quarter, are still punching above their weight.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done just Nigel Clough's just done a remarkable job doing what he's got. So there'll be twists and turns for sure, but we are where we are right now. And now we can just focus on the championship, and Middlesbrough's going to be a tough game, but I feel good that we'll get something up there, and then we'll have Burton Albion at home, and then we've got a pretty good run of games. So, it's where we can make our move.
Absolutely, Giannis. It's funny because you just want to be in position, and they're not that far off from really being in position. If they can get something at Middlesbrough, and then, like you said, home against Burton Albion, and the results go their way, boy, things can change very quickly in the championship, and then it really is on. And they're not that far off. Like I said, 4 points is not a lot. They are within distance. You want to be within distance for that final stretch run, for that final sprint. And they're not that far off, and we have a little less than half a season to go. So this is not a bad position Fulham are in. And I'm just thinking about it because I'm remembering how I felt that after Spurs' loss. And I was thinking, would it leave a mark? It didn't. I just realized that's who they were, and we moved on. And similar here with Southampton, we just move on and we concentrate on the league, and we're going to be fine. Before we leave this show, I just want to get your thought. Do you have a man of the match? And also just a rating for Slavisa to wrap this up.
Yeah, I thought Tim Ream was our best player. I thought he was very, very solid again at centre back, and he's hit a rich vein of form, which is.
It's crazy how far he has come, Giannis. Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
No, it's been tremendous, and he clearly needed a rest from the limelight because he's come back reinvigorated and reborn as a player and as a leader on this team, which is fantastic. In terms of Slava, well, this is going to surprise fans. I'm going to give him a 7, and I'm going to give him a 7 mainly because he showed respect to the cup.
He totally did.
By putting the lineup out, and you could possibly question the subs and the timings and what have you, but the thing is, he gave the FA Cup the respect that I think the tradition and heritage and legacy of the competition deserves, and that I was really pleased with that. I'm really pleased with what Southampton did, and as I said, I'm really pleased with what a lot of clubs have done, and I think it's great. I think it's a romantic competition, and amongst the furor of not so much Europa League, but certainly Champions League and the Premier League and all the silly money. I know Championship is going to get a fair amount of money with the TV contract next year, but the FA Cup is a romantic cup. I mean, when you sign off now, I don't know if the Shrewsbury West Ham game is on TV, but it's going back to the old days of, it's David and Goliath, Shrewsbury Town, a second in League One, West Ham, wet spam. But, had a struggle, good manager, David Moyes, he's turning things around. But it's great when you get the minnows, go them up against the big boys. And in this age of money and all this sort of stuff, it's great when you got players earning 200 quid a week, earning less in a day than, earning less in a week than, most players in the Premier League earn in half a day. That they go out for the love of the game and they go out and they play harder. So that's why I love the FA Cup and all as well. And I'm disappointed we didn't make it through yesterday, but that's it. We just move forward and let's bring on the Borough.
Absolutely, Giannis. All right. To wrap this up, I'm just going to mention a few things. And first thing I want to mention is a major thank you to all the listeners of Cottage Talk. What's great with what's going on right now is that everyone has now more and more choices of podcasts to listen to. There are now several Fulham-related podcasts. They're all excellent. They all talk about Fulham in different ways, and it's wonderful that we all have these options. But I just want to just say thank you for listening to Cottage Talk. I started this back in 2011 with Kyle Bond. I believe it was August of 2011, and we're still going strong. And what's fantastic is that the numbers of listeners just continue to grow. And I just can't thank everyone enough for listening to a show that I love doing. I love the relationships that have come from this show, people that I've been in contact with, my co-hosts and everything. But I just want to give a big shout out to the listeners of Cottage Talk for continually listening to a show that I just love doing. So thank you.
Hello.
All right. One last thing, Giannis, before we go, this is for you.
Oh.
Regardless of when you listen to this, because you might be listening to this Monday, Tuesday, I want to make sure Giannis knows this, because I tweeted this out wishing the best of luck to the Jaguar fans, because the Jaguars are part of the Fulham family, so I want to wish all fans the best of luck. But Giannis, I have to wish the best of luck to my friend Mr. Janaeus, because you are a Buffalo Bills fan.
I am.
Fan. So I want to wish you the best of luck today, and let's see who wins this game. But it's been a great season for the Bills, and I know how much this potentially means to you. So I want, from me to you, all the best today, my friend.
Thank you, matey. It's a special day for Bills fans because we've not been in the playoffs since
99.
Since I saw my mother-in-law come out naked from the shower.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, I know. It was that was time, and I needed years of Percocet and Zopicon to get over that one. Trust me.
Oh, Giannis, what?
I know. I haven't recovered from that.
To end the show with. Okay.
But I will say this. You know what? This is actually sort of a bit of a David and Goliath, because it's been so many years since the Bills have made it, and yeah. The long-suffering fans up here, obviously in Western New York.
Yep.
And we're hoping to reduce the toothless Jaguars to absolute rubble in a part of Florida that really isn't known for anything else anyway. So Jacksonville can float out to the sea, like here today. And I hope because if we do, you and I have another day to next Sunday with the Bills going up to Foxborough, which would
That's
be just
right, my friend.
Crazy.
That's right.
Because we're fed up with the Patriots, frankly, because we can never beat you. But you never know. It'd be nice just to get the chance to get up there to play an Eastern Conference semi, an AFC.
Divisional round would be great.
Yeah, it would be absolutely fantastic.
Okay, that's great, my friend. And again, like I mentioned, I wish you the best of luck. I wish the best of luck to Jags fans, regardless of when you listen to this. Like I said, we're recording this Sunday morning, so you could be listening to this podcast and the game could be well done, but whatever. I wanted to make sure I got that out for you, Giannis. Because
thank you, mate.
And
I apologize.
I care about you, and I wish you the best of luck. But
and listen, I do apologize for the imagery about the mother-in-law. But
that's
but,
okay.
But if you need any help, I know doctors that can prescribe this stuff. I needed lots of it, and I'm still recovering.
Okay. All right, my friend. You're too funny. But we have to go. For Giannis Janaeus, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk.